So do you have your life all figured out? Do you know exactly what you're going to be doing, where you're going? I think that I had some idea. When I was in eighth grade, I wanted to be a zoologist. By freshman year, I believe God was calling me into the ministry. So I thought I'd be a pastor. And then by the time I got out of Bible college and into a church, I was a youth pastor. And so I always joke about the fact that it's the best of both worlds. Zoology and pastoring. Youth have a way of being pretty active. But anyways, but how are you? What are you thinking you're going to be when you grow up? Well, we got this passage of scripture here in 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 7. And Elijah has been told by God that I want you to go and I want you to depart from here. Verse 3, turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And he talks to him about the provisions that he'll have. Verse 4, you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Wow, God's going to cater Elijah's meals by birds. Wow. He provides for Elijah's physical welfare while he's in this seclusion. And he also provides for his spiritual welfare. God knew exactly what Elijah needed. And that silence and solitude are parts of growing up. I really like the show Survivor. And there are times when the host is willing to give matches and sometimes flint so that they can just start a fire, because he always says out here fire means life. Well, I think water means life. I like this quote by A.W. Pink when he was talking about Elijah. He says, the prophet needed further training in secret if he was to be personally fitted to speak again for God in public. The man whom the Lord uses has to be kept low. Severe discipline has to be experienced by him. Three more years must be spent by the prophet in seclusion. How humbling. Alas, how little is the man to be trusted. How little is he able to bear being put into a place of honor. How quickly self rises to the surface and the instrument is ready to believe he is something more than an instrument. How sadly easy it is to make of the very service God entrusts us with a pedestal on which to display ourselves. And so he's saying, you need to get out of the spotlight, Elijah. You need to come up in the mountains alone with me where you can hear my voice clearly. We need more time together. And that's something that, as a young person, if you could learn that early on your checklist of the day, is time with God anything that's a part of your priorities? We come to verse 5 and it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. So he did it. He, without a moment's notice, he just did it. He didn't hesitate. Didn't even ask why. I like the wording there. He went and lived by the brook Cherith. It's one thing to go on just a brief mission trip. It's another thing to live with the people. I've heard of pastors that had churches in Chicago, but they actually lived out in the suburbs. They'd drive in, sit in their office in Chicago in a neighborhood, and then when they were done, they'd pack up their stuff and drive back out to whatever suburb they lived in, and they weren't living with the people. I believe that if God's called you to an area, it isn't just a little brief mission trip where you know a certain point, okay, I'm out of here. When I'm in, I'm all in. Go there, Elijah. Settle there. Live there. And that's what Elijah did. And so as we watch that, we have to be willing to trust the Lord. And Elijah did that. we see his willingness to serve the Lord in this way. Look at verse 6 with me. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And so, wow, a bit of bread and meat in the morning and another sandwich in the evening, and throughout the day he had that brook that he could look to. And I've been to Israel, and it can be dry and dusty. And so, wow, this is really nice of God to have this trickling brook of water. Anytime he wanted, he could get down in his belly, cup his hands, and just take a drink. But that doesn't always last. Look at verse 7 of chapter 17. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. So one morning he noticed that it's not gushing over the water rocks anymore. It's not bubbling anymore. That is his lifeline. And so he would keep a look at it. And now it's slowly but surely drying up. No more water. You know, not all of life, this is another thing, if you could learn it young, not all of life, everything is going to be working your way. It's great to have a full bank account. It's great to have a business that's booming and your career is going a long way. Even in ministry, everybody's going to your church. Can I tell you? That's not reality. There's going to be times where you will have difficult times, and God will provide. I've had times in my life where I thought, how is this ever going to work out? Family that as I was growing up, my parents ultimately get a divorce. Where are we going to live? Then I get out of college and right away I don't get the job that I thought I'd get. I'm painting houses. That's not what I studied for, but God knew. And in that time, I met an awesome girl, and we got married. And then you get a ministry opportunity, and it isn't necessarily what you dream of in the area of numbers and pay, but God provides. And as time goes by, as he is faithful, he provides and he takes care of things. And those churches, both churches that I've worked in, have been good to me. And I thank the Lord for them. And he shows us in his word that there's going to be times where we're in a tough spot, sometimes a life-threatening spot. And God doesn't forget his servants. God gives water, but he can also withhold water, and that's his sovereign right. And there are times when, as we look at our lives, we may think that God has forsaken us, and he hasn't. He's always there. We're not alone. He can be trusted. Says in James 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And so God says he's going to do something, and he doesn't, and he does it. I like the lessons that I read about here. We must be willing to set aside, to be willing to be set aside as we are to be used. That's a good lesson to learn. When God gives directions, he also includes his provision. If he's going to send you to a brook, he's going to provide for you. We have to learn to trust God one day at a time. That's a good lesson. And sometimes when a brook dries up, it can be the sign of God's pleasure and not disappointed in our lives. There's going to be times when bad things happen, and you would look at it as, why are you allowing that to happen? And he knew exactly what he's doing because he's amazing. And so I want to tell you, learn these lessons now. Ecclesiastes 12 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So many of your friends have no clue about God. They have no understanding of what God can do, but you do. You have an understanding. So trust him. Look to him. Just like he provided for Elijah, he'll provide for you.